So the question is, how does one create, build, and protect and multiply your wealth in a global interconnected economy where change is happening rapidly and constantly, and financial markets are rigged to benefit financial institutions and enrich corporate insiders? I've made it my mission to uncover how you can create, protect, and multiply your wealth in any economy, and have interviewed the top investors and wealth experts for over 3 years. I share what I've learned from them and continue to learn on my journey. I'm MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Investing Secrets. Hello, everyone. MC Lobsher, and thank you so much for joining me in another episode of the Cashflow Investing Secrets podcast. This is the show where cash is not king, cashflow is king. And in today's show, I'm going to answer one of the most frequent questions I'm getting in my inbox. Should I still buy Bitcoin? Is now still a good time to buy Bitcoin? Is it over? Am I too late? Am I still early? What is going on? That is the most frequently asked question I'm getting in an ocean of emails that's flooding my inbox with regard to cryptocurrencies. So we have covered Bitcoin on the Cashflow Ninja since 2016 when the show launched. I believe our first episode on it we did around episode 20-something, 25, 26 maybe. I had Jeff Berwick on, one of the first guys into that. He recommended to his community and subscribers Bitcoin at $3 back in 2011. So I had Jeff on that actually shared a lot about Bitcoin and what it was and why it was so exciting back in 2016. So go to cashflowninja.com, type in Bitcoin cryptocurrency. You'll find all of the stuff that we've put out and all the information we've put out regarding Bitcoin. So let's answer the question. Is now still a good time? So the short answer is you're not early anymore, but you're also not late. That's the short answer. And the following is why I'm saying that. There's so much happening, by the way, in this space and with regards to Bitcoin that it's almost impossible to keep up on a daily basis. So I'm going to try and ramble here for a couple of minutes. But if you really want to stay up to date on daily developments, Cointelegraph is a great resource. CoinDesk is another great resource. You'll get a lot of great crypto-specific and Bitcoin-specific information there. So here's a couple of things that should be important. So we all remember in 2016 and 2017, 2016 was the last halving before the one in 2020. We've discussed in other episodes exactly what a halving is and how that works and what Bitcoin is and how Bitcoin works. So please check that out. Or just go to cashflowninja.com and type in Bitcoin. You'll find all that content. But essentially, 2016 was a lost halving. And in 2017, there was a huge run-up, a bubble. And that bubble was fueled by retail investors. That was when John and Sally, making up names here, mortgaged their house and bought Bitcoin. Retail investors. What's the difference between then and now? A huge difference. Obviously, technology increases and issues get sorted out. We're now, 4 years later, 4 years on, and the price surge of Bitcoin is driven by a lot of institutional money coming in, and specifically corporations at the moment. Corporations led by MicroStrategy and Michael Saylor. By the way, Michael Saylor also puts out a ton of content online. I highly recommend anything that he puts out. Very smart guy. And his fact patterns and points that he makes regarding the asset class is really, really good. So I highly recommend you check him out. But essentially, corporations have come in. Corporations are actually positioning reserves in Bitcoin. It's led by MicroStrategy and Michael Saylor. Other corporations have come in and done it. We've actually had a mutual insurance company, Mass Mutual, put $100 million in Bitcoin. And of course, not to be outdone, the Musk, Elon, who also hails from South Africa, but Elon Musk, and Tesla put a very large amount of their reserves into Bitcoin. And he also stated that he was going to accept payments for his Tesla in BTC, Bitcoin. So that's huge. So there's a lot of corporations now putting money into Bitcoin. Why are they doing this? Well, if you're looking at places to position capital reserves in an environment where central banks and governments are so irresponsible and have no respect for their currencies whatsoever, where are you going to run to? Where are you going to position? Where are you going to position capital? And this has been a good place, a great place for corporations that have already made a move on that and position it in there. So it's driven by a lot of corporations. Now, there is going to be a lot of other dominoes, meaning other corporations that's going to be knocked over. And eventually there will be FOMO, which I think will drive this, and it's already driving sort of this huge surge, which we've had. I think there's approximately $4 trillion just sitting on corporate balance sheets and reserves in the United States. So some of that gets moved into Bitcoin, which Bitcoin is at around about $54,000 at a price, is a $1 trillion asset. You have some of that moving in there. You could see that all of a sudden there's a ton of money that would go into Bitcoin, which would make it more valuable. Again, the supply and demand thing, right? So that's what's happening. There's a lot of corporations going in there. That's the one side. The second side of that is the network effect. There's a lot of companies and businesses that's starting to integrate Bitcoin into what they're doing. The big utility value that Bitcoin has is it's a great mechanism for moving a large sum of capital from one area to another, right? So just like the SWIFT banking system. So Bitcoin is a great vehicle to do that. Very interesting to see that Visa and MasterCard is going to integrate it into what they're already doing, which is some of the other mechanisms for moving money and accepting payments and making payments. So that's huge. PayPal's already in the game. Square's already in the game. You can start to see that corporations are coming in, and then the companies that are important in the infrastructure of sending and receiving payments are starting to integrate it. And of course, more and more folks are basically getting into it. So the network effect is growing and growing and growing and growing. So especially, I would say, when it comes to, as I mentioned, the irresponsible behavior of central banks and governments, a lot of folks are starting to look at other alternatives. And Bitcoin is at this stage a very, very shining light as an asset class. So that's what's happening. The financial institutions and the big players are also making big and bold predictions about the price of Bitcoin, and they're ready to get in. There's another resource that I'll share. Raul Powell from Real Vision Finance, another great resource that I would highly recommend. I've been following him for a while now too. As an ex insider of the banking industry, he is seeing that there is a wall of institutional money, banking and financial institutions, coming into that asset class. Because as I mentioned, at right about the price of $54,000 a Bitcoin, you're over $1 trillion in market cap just for Bitcoin. The entire crypto market is about 1.5. Market cap. So at $1 trillion, it becomes a lot more attractive and easier for the banks to justify going in there because it's still so small relative to other markets, right? Think of equity markets, debt market, which is the biggest market in the world. And then, you know, even gold, what's gold? $12 trillion. So it's a relative to all other markets, it's still very small. So they're going to start to come in, and eventually when the big players come in and this wall of money that Walpole talks about comes in, the institutional money, then there will be more price stability because it's still very volatile because it's so small. So I know I rambled on a little bit. I try to do my best in the time that I want and the length that I wanted this episode to be. So the short answer is you're not early, but you're not late. There's still a lot going to happen, a lot going to unfold. You could see all the trends starting to move in a very favorable direction for Bitcoin and for cryptocurrency in particular. So, of course, please don't invest in anything that you don't understand and know anything about and know that it's very volatile. So you're going to have to ride out a lot of storms and waves. There has been plenty. There will be more. It's going to be very exciting, not just for the price action and the network effect, but the actual application of the technology and the technology going mainstream. We're living at the most exciting time in human history. I'm so excited that you spend your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me on the show. Until next time, live infinitely.
If you are interested in learning more about cash flow investing, I have compiled the 21 best cash flow investing strategies I have come across studying millionaires and billionaires for two decades and interviewing over 500 successful investors and wealth experts. You can grab the 21 cash flow investing strategy secrets at 21cashflowinvestingsecrets.com. That's 21, the number, cashflowinvestingsecrets.com.